1996, and this is the Pittsburgh section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Phase 2. My name is Mary Harrison, and I'm interviewing Rabbi Walter Jacob in his office in Rosh Hashanah Temple on Fifth Avenue. And my note taker is Gabrielle Dinman. And at the request of Rabbi Jacob, I will be calling him Walter instead of Rabbi. Okay, this is the beginning of our tape. Well, we're going to start out with just basic questions that we have. You said some of them you might have to give us dates on. Started your family, your father, your mother, and your siblings. I can't tell you the names and where they were born.
Sure, easy. My father, Ernest Jacob, was born in Göttingen in September 24th, 1898, and received a middle name courtesy of the Nazis. He retained not only his life. My mother was born in Hamburg. It's April 20th, 1902. My brother was born in Augsburg February 10th, 1933. That's it.
The date of your father's death?
Mother died in April last day of Pesach.
And the German name that the Nazis gave your father, the Hebrew name?
Was Israel. And of course that proved to be in a strange way. It satisfied American pattern, because American everybody has a middle name. I don't. I've never really got it. Except, I think I mentioned to you that I received a donation once from the American Foundation. They received a broken diagram. I said that I figured out a sort of reason.
Could you describe a little bit your early home life in Germany? Take us back to some of your early memories of what home life was like.
Yeah, well my father was a rabbi in Augsburg. My sisters had been rabbis for 16 generations. So this was a rabbinic household. We lived in a very nice synagogue was built in the following way. Main synagogue building and very large wings. One had a school administration. The other had apartments for the rabbi, for the cantor, and for the retired cantor. And it was very comfortable because there was a walkway directly from our apartment. Nice big garden in the back, and two garden tents where the rabbi entered. And the synagogue, although the effort was made to destroy it, the shell of the building, more than the shell of the building, the building itself, is a material liberation spot. And it survives to this day. It was still a religious synagogue that seats about 1,200. So those were my earliest memories were of this building, this site, the city, and of the city itself. It's a city of about 40 million. Wandered around a little bit as a child, both with my parents and left. Lots of walks and works. lights, maybe the house with the family, basically on the summer, so on Jose, which is about 1,000 a summer house, it's rented for some reason, and had a very nice relaxed childhood because my parents really kept us from the government away problems. And we were also kept away from that, the fact that there was no, it was impossible to go to public school as a school. But certainly there was a problem in school as well. And in order to have appropriate play equipment, there was a sand in my job. Other things like that, which of course benefited from my brother enormously, the offer was, and they were a private thing.
Did you, I'm sorry, I thought it was your birthday?
I was born on March 13th, 1930, in Washington.
Did you have that?
My brother on February 10th.
How did your mother get together
with him? Well, my mother met my father in Hamburg. He was there for some lectures. And the two families loved each other because my mini grandfather was frequently a spokesman for German culture. Vigorous fighter against anti-Semitism. So he had lectured all over Germany and was a scholar, good for his life. My paternal grandfather was well known in Hamburg as a poet and also an educator, sort of advanced educator, advanced education fields. So the families knew of each other, although he was not much. They met there and they got married and went to Saarbrücken, which was my father's birthday, a year later.
And where did your father get this?
Most German rabbis went to liberal seminaries and listened to the reform of the conservative Jewish philosophy seminary, Breslau. His doctorate from first impression in Syriology. On the strength of that, much later in his life, he taught in history at Drew College in Missouri. I don't think he ever considered. He was certainly the only person who considered it as a
And your mother's education?
My mother was a school teacher and taught for a while at her father's school. And then gave it up while we were growing up. And then again taught college.
And where did she go to school? University?
I don't know whether it was a university or a teacher's transition, but I'm not sure. The grandparents, I know very little about personally, because they were, my maternal grandfather died before I was born, and my maternal grandmother died half a year after. That time, 2 years after that. So the only person I really knew was my grandfather, who was a scholar.
And what was the name of your paternal grandfather?
Not what he did. That family name was Faye. Scott had already, interestingly enough, some of his family, two of his brothers, emigrated to America. So, 1896, he visited this country. He went to the Great Fair in St. Louis and described it. If he had been a little older and stayed here, he would have saved a lot of money.
That was in 1896.
And that family remained in touch all through their life. After the first one, some of them visited, others family company. And they, so the next generation would tell them. And that's actually how you came to America.
By having family here.
Having family in St. Joseph, Missouri, and the city of El Paso, Texas, provided the necessary papers.
And
there was a lot of work. They are, well, the descendants are still in St. Joseph, Missouri. So, and also scattered as first
to ask, we're supposed to ask you about your religious life in Augsburg, but what I'm going to ask you specifically, how would you compare your religious backgrounds to be Reformed, conservative, Orthodox?
Well, you see, almost all Reformed. Well, almost all Judaism was living, which is sort of that religion, conservative. Conservative practice, reform, theology. So men and women, my father said, God sat apart, but women were treated completely equally. I remember, of course, sitting in the balcony with my mother. How was my religious life? Well, I was a rabbi's child. But I remember, for example, had one of the nice practices was that every child had a little Torah wrapper. And when you were old enough to go to school, you carried that to the Torah. It's not easy.
And at what age do boys end up downstairs?
Well, see, there I was a little different because my father sat in the pulpit, so there wasn't a very similar. So as soon as I went to school, I sat with the others, the school boys. There was a little area on the side of the pulpit, sort of tucked away several rows, where younger school boys would sit. Rabbi on one side, president of the congregation on the other, and could sort of watch over the line.
Now, what was your home life like in the form of discipline? Was there a lot of discipline?
Well, it was, I think, pretty well a German household where you were expected to hold a about that thing to me that you know through a lot of is to remember, for example, that you had a balcony which was on top of the place in there. And we were told, of course, not to make noise there were any services, not to ride any tricycles there were services. It was, but basically, it was a, like any other German council, fairly strongly disciplined. It was no, he did the things that all kids do. Twice a year, my grandfather would visit. But he was really not a grandfather of the church. He was much more solid. So, good stories, but not the kind of person who's going to get down to his knees and ask for
help. And he never remarried?
Never visited. Once, remember a couple of summer vacations. Once we went to the Alps a little further. Had to come back because there was a large sign in the railway station that said she was a Vermont or something. Another time we went to the mountains and I remember doing nothing but reading because of rain. Then we went to Windhoek, which is a good time. And I visited my grandfather by that time. And also visited my future father-in-law, who was also my uncle. So I visited him. The most impressive thing there were two things. First of all, they had a farm. And secondly, in his insurance office, there was a potter roster. That was fascinating.
Could you describe a paternoster, how it goes around?
A continuous elementary. In between, of course, there are these gaps, which are worried. I'm not supposed to enter those because otherwise it falls. That's what arrives. And of course, the mystery is to kids is what happens at the top. Does it turn upside down? What occurs to them?
Since you're confused, like what I would like you to do, since you already alluded to it, since you had to go to a tour school, what was Augsburg like from 1935 to for you, and what are some of your recollections pertaining to the Nazis?
Well, you know, there aren't many recollections connected with the Nazis, because most of our life was around the city with Jewish friends. Our only contact with the public school was that we walked to the gym with the escort of the teacher. And I recall once or twice some kids disrupting their walk, but they had enough respect for the Jewish teacher, as for any teacher, that they didn't go any further. On walks alone, space. as far as Nazis go, we were spared speeches because my folks avoided having a radio. If we had a radio, we had to listen. And when there were parades, we were prohibited in Nazi, which I don't remember why. But it was not a, we were sheltered. It was not a difficult time. Until 38, November 38, the Muslims changed to a radical religion.
Would you explain Stalin?
Yes, well, the Stalin, actually there had been predecessors to the Stalin, which I knew nothing about. There were several searches of the apartment in the Stalin. University of Literature, because my father was an active, highly subversive organization that he lived with. Of course, we found nothing. And what I also did not know, but I had known, is that my grandfather and my father corresponded from 33 on so that they could be franker. That night, of course, the synagogue was burned. We saw the heard the commotion and saw the fire engines. Woke up at the same time. Gestapo came and suggested to my father that he had set the synagogue on fire. He should jump out the window for that. Stayed around for a while, asked him on other things, I guess they knew what to say, about some books, and also about an inscription, picture, which is a replica of a famous Haggadah, and a particular inscription which we had on the wall was from the end of the Seder, just before the coming of Elijah, where the statement is Shafoch Hamatcha Al Hagoyim, pour out your wrath of the nations to make you. So they asked him, what is this? He said, it's a biblical verse. Well, it is a biblical verse. They picked the right one. They took him to the concentration camp, along with all the other people. We didn't really know what was happening. In the morning we knew that he was gone, and as we looked out the window of our apartment house, we could see older men of the congregation being forced into the synagogue to clean out the benches that had been burned, take out the prayer books and the Torahs, all of that. And we had, it was an old congregation, so there must have been 75 Torahs. Large, very large. And the ornaments, of course, they had walked off with it. So, we watched that. We also watched one minor gesture of defiance that the milkman brought the milk with him. Nobody was supposed to go anywhere near. After that, the president of the congregation insisted that we move out of this apartment because he felt we were vulnerable into his house. So we moved out into a nice big house, sort of a villa. And my mother left us for a day while she went to Stuttgart to get an immigration American consul. We had started proceedings in the previous summer, but in a very leisurely pace. And so she stood there, and for most of the day, and finally had been done enough. And then we spent the rest of the, I guess about 2 weeks, at the house of the president. No school, first showed up in with a few cops. Someone's there. But otherwise fit. Just for a day. And the next day, I flew off the button. I was lucky enough that I was able to get a temporary visa, which was issued by the British to a fair number of German rabbis and so on. And by that time, my uncle was already there. They had rather hair raising. That family lived in Hamburg. He was on an insurance business. He was in London for a business trip, because he did marine insurance. And this was 38, I guess, at the time of the takeover of Czechoslovakia. Suddenly, my mother-in-law to me called from Hamburg to London and said, "We are coming." And he said, "When?" She said, "Tomorrow." And he asked, "Why?" And she said, "Never mind, we're just coming." Because she felt this was close to him. So the kids got home. On the train, they also had to mention my mother-in-law was blonde and blue-eyed. So he got on the train with his three little kids, two of them were also blonde. And as they looked for a place to sit, the doctor looked at one spot and he saw a person, obviously it was a dark and was Jewish. Went in and he said to this person, get out of here. Let these Aryans sit there. Of course, my mother-in-law said, this is fine. It's strange. And so they got to London with nothing except their clothes. And my grandfather was asked to supervise the packing of their household, which proved to go very smoothly because a high Nazi that normally would not have been possible to see that just had got out of it. Because as you know, as you got closer and closer to the Second World War, which you were allowed to take, it was constantly restricted. Well, back to Augsburg. When we, after my father went to Dachau, came back from Dachau, the concentration camp was back in the Second World War. We moved back to our apartment and decided not to go to London because we had no means of living there. Germany withdrew 100 mark a week, some relatively small sum. So we decided to stay in Germany as long as possible and, if possible, go directly. Knowing that things were restless. What had happened now with our apartment was that two other families, we were to make room for two other families to live in.
property of the synagogue.
Yes. So, you know, for me, this was, for kids, all these things are an adventure. Now I had playmates in the apartment. Yeah, place and time, it was mostly. Well, I guess what had happened before that, I should say, was before this occurred, is that we were able to pack up most of the furniture. That was done in the usual fashion that